like a big fat clown. Disgusting. Oh, and by the way, nice zit.
If you wouldn't say it in person, why say it online? Delete cyberbullying. Don't write it, don't forward it. For more information, visit ncpc.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:01 or so, and it's time once again for Off the Wall. And very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes. I'm over here.
You are over there.
I'm here.
You're way over there.
Oh, yeah. Way, way over here.
So, yeah, it's another Tuesday night. Tonight's it's actually a radiothon here at WUSB Stony Brook. So that means, actually, there's nobody in the tally room. In fact, I'm not even sure where the tally room is, because this is our first radiothon in the whole extended new facility. But what we can say is that if you call 631-632-6901, you might reach somebody there either now or later, and you can always go to WUSB.fm. There are ways to make your pledge of support. Okay, go to WUSB.fm, request an invoice or print out a pledge form and mail it in. Yeah, we do things old school here. Mail it into, well, I guess the address is on the form, but I'll give it to you now anyway. WUSB Radiothon 226 Student Activity Center, Stony Brook University, Stony Brook, New York, 11794-2800. You can also visit www.wusb.fm and make a credit card pledge of support online via a secure website. And we have all sorts of interesting, amazing things that we're offering in exchange for your pledge of support to keep this radio station going. $35 pledge, you will get a USB 40th anniversary ceramic mug or a USB 40th anniversary baseball cap in festive navy blue. $50 donation, you can get the Ice Blue 40th Anniversary T-shirt. Ice Blue in your choice of size.
In your choice of size, yes. I've seen this shirt. It's fantastic. It's a really very nice periwinkle. I don't even know what periwinkle is. But, yeah, it's light blue. It's really a cool shirt.
It's a bit chilly outside, though, Kyle, and I think I'd like something a little bit heavier. What can we offer people for that?
Well, I think there's... perhaps sweatshirts or even some sort of fleece number in the form of a blanket.
I think you might be referring to the 40th anniversary light blue sweatshirts, which is yours for a pledge of $75.
Really? They have those in blue for a hooded sweatshirt. Really?
Light blue.
Same color.
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Small, medium, large, extra large, XXL. And if you want other sizes, demand them, and I'm sure we'll make them. If you want to join the 90.1 Club, you'll get the USB 40th anniversary canvas bag, a denim canvas bag. we have this now, $107.30 or higher. Yeah, there's a 107.3 club now that we have that frequency.
You can
pick three. You can pick three items: a sweatshirt, or a T-shirt, a USB cap or a mug, and a CD. And you can write your genre, and we'll find something that fits that. So you can pick three. I don't know if that means you can get three sweatshirts. I'm not sure. This is kind of confusing to me. It's all explained on the website. I'm sure all the confusion will disappear there. The important thing is to go there, WUSB.fm, and pledge whatever you can afford. Or call 631-632-6901. When there are people there to answer the phone, which I don't think there are now.
All donations are tax deductible.
That's true.
About that time, you're probably thinking, how can I spend my money before the end of the year? This is a great way. WUSB.fm/pledge, PLEDGE, if you were unaware of how to spell that. And, you know, just let me run this down. We broadcast from these two frequencies and online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We've been broadcasting for 40 years. 40 years we've had this unique license.
So tired. So very, very tired.
We have 40,000, roughly 40,000 listeners off campus in our frequency range.
How did we figure that out?
I don't know. It says it right here. We have roughly 20,000 on-campus listeners. That would be students. And
that's the whole population of the campus, and there's a lot more people off campus.
This seems like it's not boasting that much. Hundreds of online listeners. I'm going to rephrase that. Hundreds of people listening at any one time.
What do you got there, a little flyer?
Simultaneously. Yeah, there's a little, like, threefold flyer. I don't know. Somebody made this.
WUSB by the numbers.
Where by the numbers. That's... And did you know?
Yeah.
There are over 160 student and community volunteers, and we happen to be in the top six college radio stations.
Oh, I thought we were in the top six of those volunteers. I thought we were being ranked.
No, we're in the top
The top 150, maybe.
Top.
If we're lucky.
Maybe a couple hundred, yeah. Well, the top 100. Okay. Maybe, I don't know.
We stopped ranking people because that turned into the divisiveness.
No, but the station's ranked top 6 in the nation. Can you believe that? And I do believe it.
Okay, not to cast aspersions on that. What else do you do with aspersions? I've never done anything other than cast them. Who are these people that are ranking us number 6? And why are we number 6? Who's number 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1?
It's probably in some sort of measurable criteria that I have not an inkling of an idea of a semblance.
Top number 6 over. College radio station.
I have no idea where they get that. But it's written there. There's a special student pledge of $45.10. I don't know where they get that number. It's the WSBI pledge for students, which, if you're a student, bless you, because you're already contributing in being a student through various fees and your tuition. But we really appreciate your support. So if you listen, if you're on campus, we will happily accept a donation, and we thank you that much more because that's a real commitment. And the students really are a big part of the station, whether it's events or new programming here or incredible volunteers. It's how we operate.
That's true. Very true. Again, WUSB.FM, the website, 631-632-6901 is our phone number. And every little bit counts. It's gotten us here. We're in new facilities. A year ago, we were not in new facilities. A year ago, we were in a decrepit hellhole that was falling apart, that nothing worked. And, do you remember, if you go back and just listen to shows a year ago or even earlier than that, every time we went into delay, it was an adventure. You never knew what was going to happen when we made it to the other end. We go into delay so seamlessly, you don't even know when we've done it. Are we in delay? Are we live? You don't know. You can't tell.
Yeah, you have no idea if we're talking to you from the future and you're merely, in the past, listening idly. It's seamless. It's like breath. It's really nothing for us. And
hit the wrong button sometimes.
I don't want to
sound all kinds of crazy things can happen, and there's no way to stop it or be able to tell. But hit the wrong button sometimes, and all kinds of crazy things can happen, and there's no way to stop it or be able to tell. But we find the mistakes and we fix them, and it's as simple as that.
It's still an adjustment, and honestly, there's a lot of progress yet to be made here in the new facility.
Yes,
there are still items of equipment. There's still really exciting things on the horizon that we're going to be finishing up and basically giving back in the form of archives. We're going to continue to make our library available to students.
Oh yeah,
and programming.
We have been encoding those damn CDs now for almost 2 years. We have, I guess, close to 100,000 CDs in our CD library.
No. We have 2 pallets left.
No, we have 4 pallets left, Kyle. 4.
Oh, I thought it was 2.
No, I can. Yeah, we have 4 pallets.
But
we've gone through so many of the things, and 100,000 CDs is nothing to sneeze at. Even though I'm allergic to the dust and I have been sneezing at them, but it's a massive undertaking because it's not just feeding them into a robot and having them spit back details. There's misspellings galore that have to be fixed, and sometimes there's a Chinese CD that comes up as the Almond Brothers CD, and you have to fix that, make sure that doesn't go into our library. So we're getting everything right. It takes time, and then the end result is that our library will be restored. It'll be digital. It'll be all in one place as it should be.
Yeah, it's really a lot of work, and it is quite the curation of what accumulated in that 40-year. But gosh, it's so crazy to say that in that 40-year time period.
We didn't have 40 years of CDs because that would mean 1977.
No.
We had CDs, and they started in the 90s, I think, or the late 80s.
Right, right. Well, our vinyl library, I guess, would be sort of the early end of that. But the content and what has been amassed in this special place,
mm-hmm.
the history and changes, everything, whether it's a format or the content itself, it's all safe. And we're excited for the future, and your donations will go to all the bits and pieces that will make that something people can program their shows with and come check out for themselves and so on and so forth.
Let me just say that you mentioned the vinyl records, and the vinyl records also have been saved, thanks mostly to the students here at Stony Brook who insisted that the vinyl be saved.
Yeah.
And having that is you know, because the vinyl is one of the first things I saw when I came into this place back in 1977, and it's a treasure. It's something that you you certainly can't just put that into cold storage or anything like that, because it's got to be you know, tended to properly. You can't have warping of vinyl and things like that. CDs are different. You can digitize the CDs. And not having all the CDs here in this facility means that we can have the vinyl, although we're still organizing where exactly to put it and trying to find more space. Thing is, the upshot is everything has been saved or is being saved one way or another because people care.
Yep.
So that's something that's really it's great to have that kind of level of concern around us.
Yeah, and I bring it up basically because we don't want people to feel like we're done or that you know, that we're simply fundraising here for the fun of it. There is a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, even on a normal operating schedule, in a normal circumstance, without this tremendous move that everyone contributed to. So the point is, we're working very hard, as are many people here at WSB, and every bit of your support goes to regular operations as well as these exciting projects that we'll be telling you more about in the future as we grow into our new home.
And our telephone answering staff has arrived, so now you can make those phone calls and connect with a human on the other end and pledge whatever you can afford, whatever you feel like pledging. 631-632-6901 is the phone number. Now, if you If you are kind of confused by our confusing explanation as to all the things that are being offered, don't worry, because the people on the other end of that phone call will be able to tell you everything you need to know as far as what pledge amount will get you what.
They'll break it down. Yeah, they'll make it very clear. We were just giving you kind of the summation, the sort of just a couple highlights from the wide array of things that we offer as a thank you.
That's right. 631-632-6901.
So with that out of the way, what's going on?
There's a lot going on, Kyle.
Yeah, how do we even start?
Well, first of all, I should point out there are some things to be concerned about. North Korea is telling us, as of today, nuclear war could break out at any moment. That's another reason why you should make that phone call now, because if nuclear war does break out, you will be distracted and you won't have time to make the phone call. We probably won't have time to pick up the phone. So wouldn't it be nice to make the pledge now and to know, as the rockets are sailing and falling and things like that, that you did the right thing when you had the chance and that it made us feel better in those last few days of our pathetic existence? Well, yeah, that's what they're saying. They're saying that North Korea is telling us war may break out any moment because the U.S. and South Korea are beginning one of the largest joint naval drills off the peninsula. It seems like they're always doing that. It seems like they're always having these drills. I thought they just did this a couple of months ago, but now they're doing it again. And, of course, you know, we expect North Korea to back down. We insist that they back down, but we will never back down. We will never even say anything that might make them be able to claim some kind of victory. Like, you know what, we're going to reduce the military exercises by 10%. You know, a meaningless statement like that. If we said that, that could be enough to defuse the situation right there. North Korea could say to its people, hey, look what we did. We got them to back down, and we are victorious. How does that hurt exactly? You know, it might be a blow to Trump's pride.
It projects weakness, and we can't have that.
We can't have that, as opposed to what we have now, which is just blatant stupidity.
Well, I mean, stupid strength is better than smart weakness. So, I mean, obviously, that's the route we're going.
Uh huh. You know, these exercises are clearly just provocations. I mean, clearly, we know how to conduct drills. We don't have to conduct drills right off the coast of North Korea because we know it really is a tinderbox of emotions. unless we just want to keep pushing them and see what they do.
It's a continuous bluff being called, and I think that basically we're not backing down and projecting that strength in almost an antagonistic, in a quite antagonistic way, to see what they do and to see how, you know, how serious they are, and then fire off retribution when we feel the line, you know, that we define has been crossed. I mean, we want to bring them as close to the brink, I think, to then justify any kind of intervention or sort of, quote, defensive maneuver. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of thing. It just seems like it's quite reckless.
Reckless is definitely the word for it. Reckless on all ends, no question about that.
But it's sort of strength before the cool, calm. You know, it's like, let's get it crazy before we bring you to, the actual bargaining table, you know, so that there's a little bit of distress going into that. Not that we've been lumbering around, getting threatened, and then, our only and immediate reaction is this sort of intellectual, cerebral response. We want to get crazy before we get cerebral, I think.
Well, we've gone crazy because the things we're saying right now, and by we, I mean the people that allegedly represent this country, they don't make a whole lot of sense and not consistent. I mean, basically, Trump has said military force is an option to stop Kim. And he's ruled out talks with Pyongyang. And meanwhile, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said Sunday the president wants him to push forward on diplomacy with North Korea until the first bomb drops. You know, what do you make out of these statements? We're not going to talk to you, but we're going to engage in diplomacy until the first bomb drops. It seems almost like a foregone conclusion on their part. It's recklessness. This is, you know, something that North Korea has been doing now for decades. They have all these colorful insults that they throw out to people. They make all kinds of dire threats. But you know what they don't do? They don't invade other countries. I'm not counting South Korea, because obviously they consider that the same country. But you don't see North Korea, launching ships or planes and landing in different areas. Okay, they're just about their country, their region. That's it. So, yeah, you can say what you want about the regime. You can say what you want about totalitarianism and the crazy system they might have over there. But one thing you don't have to worry about, North Korea is not going to be invading the United States anytime soon. North Korea cannot say the same thing about us. And that is why they are acting so crazy, because they are paranoid. They think that the U.S. is coming to get them, and they might not be that wrong. They might not be that wrong based on the things that Trump is saying. And if you make someone who's paranoid even more paranoid, they begin to act even more irrationally. And if that person has nuclear weapons, I don't want to be around when they finally decide to do something dramatic. We're handling this in possibly the most stupid way imaginable. And it's not that hard a situation to at least make some progress with. I'm not saying we can solve the whole North Korean issue, because it's been around for a long time, but we don't have to keep going down the same road. We can actually have a constructive conversation. We can actually take the first steps towards normalizing things and minimizing this threat. But don't count on that anytime soon from this administration.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm not. No, I don't think a lot. I think a lot of people are a far cry from, would be chagrined to look to this administration for leadership on this.
Well, if Kim Jong Un, if you're listening, Trump is he doesn't represent all of us, and if you want to talk to somebody else, there's plenty of other people you can talk to.
Sure. Yeah.
Who will take your phone call? It might be hard to understand, but. Trying to negotiate with him is just—it's a big waste of time. It really
is. Yeah, he's not really that versed in this geopolitical area, anyway.
And as he's already proven, he won't necessarily stick to an agreement. You know, as he's trying to do with Iran now, agreements with the United States are going to mean nothing. So that's something that...
Ring hollow.
Yeah. You can never say, oh, you cheated on the agreement if we do the same thing. And that's precisely what we are doing right now, or starting to do. Okay. Here's another headline. Fears of catastrophe. As runaway Chinese space station hurtles towards Earth. Have you heard about this? The space station, we saw this in the sky. Apparently, they've lost control of it, and it's hurtling towards Earth now. It's literally fears of catastrophe. Another reason to make that phone call.
Is there anyone on it?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Is it, catastrophe for Earth? Isn't it just going to burn
up? Well, definitely a catastrophe for the space station. Yeah, that's not going to be nice for them when they hurtle into Earth. But, yeah, Earth isn't going to...
I thought no one was on it.
No, but for the structure.
The equipment.
Yeah, but I think they mean catastrophe here on Earth when it lands.
It's not going to land. It's going to burn up.
Well, yes, you can say that. Let's look at the story. The 8.5-ton Tiangong-1, which means Heavenly Palace, which really is about the worst thing you can call this right now, the satellite is now out of control and is doomed to plunge into the atmosphere.
How did that get screwed up?
I don't know. We weren't paying attention, Kyle. It's going to be a couple of months, and... This is the most obvious statement I think we'll read tonight. It could kill anyone who is standing beneath. So, yes.
Uh-huh.
If a space station lands on you, beware, that could be harmful or even fatal. I expect it'll come down a few months from now, late 2017, early 2018, said Jonathan McDowell, a Harvard University astrophysicist. He previously warned... did we just go to this guy for the dire warnings? He previously warned that there was no way of telling exactly where the space station was going to plunge to Earth. Well, Jonathan, maybe you can't tell right now, but I'm sure we can tell when it gets a little closer, right? I mean, I would hope so.
If the Chinese are forthcoming and,
You really can't steer these things, he said last year. He's known about this for a year, and we're only finding out about this now.
Wow.
But we were looking at that Chinese space station. You know, we were looking at it through our binoculars.
Right.
And, you can see these things. You can see the space station, the International Space Station, ISS.
Yeah, they glimmer. They reflect. Their movement is distinct.
I'm going to look that up, actually, in just a moment, as soon as I finish the story. So people.
Yeah, so how did this happen? What got screwed up?
It's Trump's fault. He basically got his hands... No. Okay, you can't blame this one on Trump, apparently. We'll see, though. Even a couple of days before it reenters, we probably won't know better than 6 or 7 hours, plus or minus, when it's going to come down. Wait a minute, what does that mean? We won't know better than 6 or 7 hours, plus or minus, when it's going to come down. So wait, we might know 6 or 7 hours in advance.
No.
Plus or minus what? If you add 6 hours to that, then you don't know until it's already landed. Or is he saying we won't know until 7 hours after it's landed? That's a very confusing statement, plus or minus.
It means within about 6 or 7 hours before it hits, we'll know somewhat approximately.
Oh, that I understand. When he added the plus or minus to the statement, that's when I got confused. I'm not sure.
Maybe plus or minus an hour.
But he didn't say that. He didn't add. Okay. The station will reduce significantly in size as the Earth's atmosphere burns it up. So there, Kyle, that's your scenario where it burns up in the atmosphere, but it's not good enough because not all of it. Large chunks of metal could still fall to Earth and injure or kill anyone standing in the impact site. I don't know why you'd be standing there, folks. Don't stand there. Don't stand. If you see a space station coming towards you, move. We need a PSA, one of these things that says don't, cross railroad tracks when the train's coming, or don't, wave, a kite in the air if there's lightning. You know, let's add, don't stand in the path of a space station.
I'm sure there's some students that could whip up something like this for the radio station.
We have an astrophysics department here, I'm sure, and we can do that. We can come up with some expert opinions. As spokesperson for China's space agency, after profuse apologizing, said, based on our calculation and analysis, most parts of the space lab will burn up during falling. But a huge clump of metal could still rain down on unwilling victims. Unwitting victims, I'm sorry. Unwitting. Well, unwilling and unwitting. I'm sure that nobody is willingly having a space station land on them. He added there will be lumps of about 100 kilograms or so, still enough to give you a nasty wallop if it hits you. How much is 100 kilograms? Sounds like a lot. I should know this. I always get confused. I can do meters and kilometers and Celsius, but kilograms, do I weigh 1 kilogram? Do I weigh 1,000 kilograms? I don't know. I really don't. I'm sorry. This is not one we use a lot.
Kilo is a couple pounds.
Is it?
It's
okay.
It's like less than two, though. But
okay.
More than one.
So we're talking about something that's a couple of hundred pounds hitting you.
Yeah.
From orbit. Yeah, that's not going to be good. In fact, even something small hitting you from orbit isn't going to be pleasant. And here's where they go into what the Chinese hope to accomplish. As well as building a space station, China intends to eventually put one of its citizens on the surface of the moon. Probably a human rights activist. We'll see. In April, China vowed to send a craft to orbit Mars, land, and deploy a rover to explore the surface by 2020. Why even say these things? It's kind of rubbing salt into the wound. They have a space station hurtling towards Earth right now, and we're talking about what they hope to accomplish in the decades ahead. Not the best time.
I'm sorry, a kilo is 2.2 pounds.
You were pretty close.
Yeah.
You were pretty close. Okay, so we have that to look forward to. Nuclear war is imminent. We have a space station hurtling towards WUSB, maybe? Who knows? We're as much in the path as anybody else right now. Please call 631-632-6901. Pledge your support, and maybe it'll be enough for us to erect a shield. You know, like they have in Star Trek, a defensive shield that might deflect the space station away and save us all.
I still am not clear that, you know, what led up to this. Like, who was not at the helm? Somebody forgot to steer?
Well,
was this always the plan?
You know, sometimes, eventually all these things do come back down to Earth.
Well, that's the thing with the, like, ISS. They've been delaying retiring it, but the ultimate fate of it is alleged to be this thing plummeting towards the atmosphere and burning up. This largest, most expensive man-made object.
Why is the Chinese space station?
I'm sorry, ISS is the most expensive. It's not, I don't think, the largest man-made object, but
out
it's the most expensive
of
man-made object.
Control.
Yeah, why?
Okay. Let's see. The first thing that comes up is don't freak out about the Chinese space station that's about to fall out of the sky.
Most of Earth is water.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't help if you're on a cruise ship, you know, and doesn't help if you're in the water. Yes, the Chinese space station is falling towards Earth in an uncontrolled descent and will hit the planet sometime within the next few months. And no, not even the best and brightest minds in science can really get any more specific than that. But no, you should not worry about it. Late last week, The Guardian published a story that was read on today's Off the Wall, in which a Harvard astronomer, Jonathan McDowell, predicted that Tiangong-1 would deorbit in either late 2017 or early 2018, a prediction consistent with China's official statements on the subject. Back in 2016, Chinese officials said that they had lost control of the space station. Wow, 2016, last year, which would eventually deorbit, breaking apart and mostly burning up in the planet's atmosphere. The only tricky bit is that we don't exactly know when or where the station will deorbit, and we likely won't know until a few hours before it starts burning up in a fiery ball. And yes, some fiery pieces might survive the fall back to our planet. Okay, why shouldn't you worry about this? Okay, Skylab did this, Mir did this, and they were all larger than Tiangong-1. Mir didn't hit a single person on its controlled descent towards the Pacific Ocean. Ah, it's a controlled descent. This is not a controlled descent. That's where engineers can push the space station to burn up over uninhabited land, and that's obviously ideal. Now, this is uncontrolled. Doesn't necessarily mean it's cause for alarm. Skylab also made an uncontrolled descent back to Earth, and it was 200,000 pounds. Didn't hit anyone. Part of it fell in the Australian outback. In fact, only one person has been hit by space debris in the 60 years since humans have been sending things up into space. I didn't know about this. It was a segment of rocket slightly larger than a human palm, and it landed on Tulsa, Oklahoma resident Lottie Williams' shoulder with a light tap. Oh, we have to interview this person.
Yeah.
I have no idea anybody ever got hit by anything from space. A light tap? Really? Okay.
So sort of like floating down, or may have been styrofoam or something light.
Well, if you had to think of this in terms of geography, as you said, Kyle, 71% of the planet is covered by water, giving Tiangong-1 a broad, mostly unoccupied target area to hit. Of the remaining 29% of the Earth's surface, a 2008 report found that only 10% is home to 95% of the world's population. So even if parts of the station do hit land, it's still really unlikely they'll hit a person. There are plenty of other bad things that can happen to you anyway. That's why we shouldn't worry, because there's all kinds of worse things that can happen.
So. We're fundraising tonight, just so you know. Please call 631-632-9872 to make
Wait,
your...
Wait, you're giving a different phone number? Like, okay, that one, is that one they have over there? I've been giving 6901. They go to the same place, but... All right, 9872. No, but wait, that's wrong. That's our online number, Kyle.
I'm sorry. Why? I was given the wrong information. But just, you know, start out online. Go to the number that E's giving you. Regardless, think about it. Any amount, we really, really appreciate your contribution to our community radio station here at Stony Brook.
That's right. 631-632-6901. Our telephone volunteers are standing by. If you want to be on the air, though, call the number Kyle gave, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. In fact, maybe you can tell other listeners why they should or should not call in and support this radio station. Yes, that's right. We'll give you a forum if you want to tell people not to call in. What do you think about that? Will NPR do that? Huh? Will any other station allow you to basically argue everything we say?
Hey, I mean, we welcome it. This is the kind of thing that we relish at Off the Wall.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to allow people to speak. We have all kinds of interesting things to cover, topics and the like. If there's something we've talked about in past weeks or years that you'd like to comment on, please call and share with us. We'd love to hear. Or if there's something that we're not covering that you would like us to look into or think deserves some attention, we want to hear about that too. You can write us, otw@2600.com. And, you know, I was thinking the other day about how, you know, we'd spent this, you know, run up 2016. Gosh, I'll never get that year back. But 2016 basically talking about Trump. We had the Trump machine for a while until we stopped paying for it, and on and on. But the point is, we told you so.
We did.
I just wanted to say that. I mean, that struck me. Like, at the time, I was like, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe it's the best thing that'll happen to the country. When I said that, I didn't realize that I was right and in quite the way that I was saying it at the time. I was very cynically saying, you know, this might be the best thing for the country, but I actually think I was right in all honesty that this has been the best thing for the country, because so many people have become more engaged in politics and concur that perhaps whatever you want to call this leadership, it's not for us, and we need to communicate and be active to meet the ends that we expect from our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So I just felt like saying that because I was a little unsure of all the things I thought might happen and the dangers we're facing. And now here, however many days in, I'm optimistic. I think we'll get through some of this, but, the 4 years that is, but gosh, it's going to be a long, slow slog, I think. I don't know. It's been interesting, but I don't, of anything I'd said, I don't really think we were that far off. And in fact, I think we've been proven to be, pretty spot on in a lot of ways. I don't, you know, think back about our shows
except one, Kyle. We didn't think that he'd win.
Yeah.
Didn't think for, in fact,
we were
too
optimistic.
No, I remember going on the air saying, we don't know a single person who supports Trump. And obviously, that was the big warning sign right there that
yes.
we did not see.
Yes.
The fact that there are all these people out there that we didn't know any of them, or they were keeping themselves quiet, but they were out there. True, there aren't as many as there are people that are opposed to Trump, but in our crazy system, that doesn't matter. 3 million people, 3 extra million people that voted for the other side, they don't count because of the system we have. That is our system. It would be nice to change it, and I don't think we will change it until it works in the other direction. But we didn't see it coming. We didn't see it coming.
No.
But what we, you know, the hypotheticals, if this were to happen, Yeah, that's all playing out pretty much the way we and many other people predicted.
Yeah.
And it's very unfortunate, but it might actually, this is my hopeless optimism kicking in, it might be enough to wake people up enough to prevent this kind of thing from ever happening again, and for us realizing that we're much better united than we are constantly sniping at each other. To this day, I still see, you know, Hillary being blamed for all kinds of things. Why are we even still talking about her? You know, it's not just Fox News. They blame her for everything. Harvey Weinstein, her fault. All right, the shooting in Las Vegas. She's saying all kinds of things that she shouldn't be saying. Her fault. You know, that's all they do. They don't focus on the actual problems. They focus on Hillary. But people on the left do the same thing because there is such factionalism. You know, we have to stop that. If we're going to ever get past this, we need to unite, realize that there are going to be differences. For God's sake, we have to move on and take things back.
Slowly and steadily, yes. And I'm with you, too. I think there's definitely optimism. It's not – none of this is stuff you want to be right about. It's not a competition anything like that. It's simply it's occurring much in the ways that we feared. And I don't know. I think I find a lot of people getting used to Trump. And, you know, it's very normal, becoming normal.
Yeah, that is a problem.
There's a lot of anchors that you can't tell that they're cringing as they say his name in the context of their job. We don't want to have to speak about him, but I'm afraid our system has accepted him for better or for worse, and that's what we get to talk about for the next 3 years. So,
well, and of course people are rolling their eyes into the back of their heads as we say that because they don't want us to be talking about this all the time. And, you know, honestly, we don't want to be talking about it all the time either, but to ignore it is to normalize and to turn our back on things that are hugely important, you know, whether it's environmental issues, social issues, immigration issues, racial issues. There are just so many. Hey, here's something. You know, there's a state of emergency being declared in Florida. You know about this, right? There's
no.
another storm coming to Florida. And this one threatens to be a bad one. It's called Spencer. You hear about this, Kyle?
No.
Yeah. The governor has declared a state of emergency for Thursday, in advance of a talk by white nationalist Richard Spencer. Yeah, he's coming to Florida, and Governor Rick Scott has already asked for the declaration. Actually, the county sheriff down there has asked Governor Scott to declare the emergency. As the university prepares for Spencer's visit, the governor's executive order places the state agency usually responsible for hurricanes at the front of the effort to preserve order during the event. It also places the Florida National Guard on standby. It's the day after tomorrow this is going to happen. Now, anti-fascist groups known as Antifa or Antifa, we have to agree on that too, plan to protest the event. Both sides have talked on social media about using violence. I find that the threat of a potential emergency is imminent and hereby declare a state of emergency in Alachua County. That's what Governor Rick Scott wrote in an executive order that he signed on Monday. University officials said the price tag for security at Spencer's event will be $500,000. Spencer's National Policy Institute paid the school $10,000 to rent the Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. So, listeners, $500,000 minus $10,000 means the school is out $490,000 for this privilege. And at least 500 law enforcement officers are expected to be on hand. Hopefully not attending. Hopefully.
What is he going to say?
Yeah.
What exactly is he going to say? That so, I mean, I guess that's why he's having an event, so that we can all find out.
Yeah.
He crawled out of his
hole. He's not
going
to get to say. He's not going to get to say much. He'll probably be shouted down.
Yeah.
You know my feelings on controversial speakers, controversial talks.
Let them speak.
But you know, when you have self-professed white nationalists or supremacists or Nazis or people like that, kind of know what they're saying. We know that already, and it says a lot to be giving them a forum in the first place. You don't have to do that. You don't have to give forums to people who say.
Yeah, we don't have
terrible things, like criminals. You know, you don't allow people to come and give a talk on how to break into houses
or how to eat babies.
No. Imagine if we did. You know, this needs to be looked upon with the same disdain that we would look upon those people with, rather than saying, "Oh yeah, let him speak," and it's all free speech. Yeah, he's got the right to speak. Sure, he's got that right. But again, people have the right to react, and when the reaction is this strong, you have to question what it is that's being said in the first place. And this is just a bad move. And we're seeing so many of these things. We're seeing, this is what we're talking about. We're seeing these people being legitimized, being emboldened by Trump. And this is why it's happening more and more and will happen more and more if we don't react against it. If we were to be quiet and just say, okay, you know what, disagree with this guy, let him speak, not going to bother me. Well, guarantee you there'll be a lot more talks like that, and they'll get louder and more well-attended, and before you know it, it's everywhere. So, yeah, make it as unpleasant as possible every time somebody like this rears their ugly head. But be careful as well, because if you start painting a broad brush and labeling anybody you disagree with as evil in that sense, then you're doing a lot more harm than good. We have to be very careful about that and save this this anger for the truly vile, the people who are basically pushing for white supremacy or Nazism or, you know, all the things that we stand against, that united we stand against. And if we don't stand against it, what are we doing? You know, what is the point of all of this? It's a fine line. There is a difference, though, and I think we're intelligent enough to know the difference.
Yeah, it's funny because the play almost isn't really about the speaker or their political ideology. It becomes a play for baiting left leaning students and the idea of speech in general. And that's, we've seen that over and over again. It's about stoking the concept of speech and using it as a vehicle for hate.
Mm-hmm.
But only insofar as, yeah, it can serve your end, but not necessarily, but feeling sort of victimized by the response when people use their speech to disagree with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's part of the tactic, too, they turn the opposition into the problem. Go, you know, watch Fox News. Please come back, but watch Fox News, and you'll see how the attention is being focused on Antifa.
Yeah.
And how they are using violence and turning over signs and shouting and horrible things like that. Forgetting the fact that we're talking about Nazis here. We're talking about people that you know, are supportive of mass exterminations and all kinds of other horrible things that Nazis are known for. And we're actually opening up the door for this? No, we're not going to open the door on this. We're not doing, as people, we're not doing it. The government should not step in and say it's illegal to speak about this. In some countries, it is like that. You can't question the Holocaust in many countries in Europe. Yeah, you can do that here, but know that when you do question things like that, you're going to get retorted, and sometimes retorted with a lot of passion. And that is a good thing. That's something that we can never tone down on. And by putting them in the crosshairs, by putting the opposition, by putting the people who are anti-fascist, labeling them as the threat, you're doing the work of these neo-Nazis for them. And that's the real danger. That's why people need to show up on Thursday and make sure that it's as unpleasant for these people as possible so that they don't try it again. And the media has an obligation to report things fairly and realize that this is, you know, a reaction against something that is vile, terrible, and a threat to all of us. And again, you know, if we overstep and start condemning people left and right and having a purge of anybody we disagree with, then yeah, we are the problem. If it goes that far, I haven't seen it go that far. I have not. There's always lunatics everywhere, but I don't think that's the problem right now.
Yeah, it's got no real place. I mean, there's so much more that is pressing that really needs attention, and this stuff it just adds an angle to existing issues, and again, as I said, is a play to stoke division.
Yes. Okay. Here, let's be a little happy. Let's talk about positive things.
Okay.
We've reached an all-time high among U.S. adults of obesity. When I started reading this, it looked a lot more positive than I realized the story actually is. This isn't a happy story, is it?
Speak for yourself.
Well, no. Nearly 40% of adults, 19% of youth are obese. The highest rate the country has ever seen in all. I thought Trump was tweeting about this. The highest rate the country has ever seen in all adults. Since 1999, there has been a staggering rise in the prevalence of obesity, particularly in adults, without any signs of it slowing down. Okay, that's bad. I'm sorry. I saw things going up, no stopping. I just thought, Trump and progress and higher than it's ever been before. And I'm sorry. Okay, that's a bad story. But there is a good part to this. Youth obesity rates seem to be more stable in recent years. But it's too early to tell what direction youth obesity prevalence will take. Well, there's an easy way to fix this, and that's to exercise, eat healthy. The stuff that Michelle Obama was doing, bring healthy food to schools, the thing that the Trump administration is against. Think about that. Think about how crazy it is. Like she said, think about what it means when people say it's okay for your kids to eat crap. That is where we are right now. The insane insanity of it all. The insane insanity. That's I'm at a loss for words, as you can tell.
And it's what you get when you've emphasized freedom over food safety and food security, and the type of food that we have access to is in lower in quality, I think. Lower than ever, insofar as the prevalence of a lot of bad food or highly processed food, and by not taking some of these initiatives, like what Michelle Obama, former First Lady Michelle Obama, had been emphasizing and making a priority in our country. That's a big swath of the population at very early and formative points in their lives. It's very important to instill good habits early on. It's the kind of thing that sticks with you for a very, very long time, and it sets you up for making healthy choices as an adult. And you tend to gravitate towards those things when you're exposed to them early on. I have fond memories of vegetables. Do you have a favorite vegetable that,
I could say Trump, but no. I actually like broccoli a lot. I do.
Broccoli.
Brussels sprouts. I like Brussels sprouts. Only because I was told not to
by
everybody around me. And, when people do that, I develop taste. That's how I develop a taste for anchovies. Because by having anchovies on your slice of pizza, nobody else wants it, so you always are able to preserve yours.
I really like artichokes.
Artichokes are good, too.
And beets.
Asparagus. All the A vegetables. I like those. The vegetables are good for you. And everything, the junk food, it's more about the socialization, I think, than anything else.
Yeah.
That's why people go to McDonald's. That's why people eat a lot of garbage. But, you can easily have the same social interactions and eat good things. And you can easily exercise and have fun. It doesn't have to be something that's dreaded. And you'll see the results. You'll live longer. You'll be more healthy. You'll be able to do more. It's incredible that we have to have this conversation and convince people to do these things. But because it's science. Yeah, science is the enemy. Science is basically, they have the facts on all this. I don't know how I can say it any better than science already is saying it.
Right. And it's also that some government initiatives are very important, and it's money well spent to inform people, because the scientists have an incredible problem communicating their research to the broader public. They're not good at it. They're good at science. So the important thing to do is to get information to people in a way that they can understand it and apply it in their lives. And it's unfortunate that we don't want to see that kind of involvement from the government. But suffice to say, whether there's an official program there or not, it's to our detriment not to to communicate this to young people, to adults, and so on, in a formal way. Without that, you're really left with the market and advertisers who are going to hawk what they want.
Yeah,
what they want to sell.
And what we're hawking here is us. Please, the last couple of minutes of the show, give a call to 631-632-6901. Pledge any amount from $10 to $1,000, and you will keep this place going. We've gotten so much accomplished in the last year. We have a lot more to go. 631-632-6901. You can also go to WUSB.FM and pledge your support there as well. We thank you for all of that. We didn't get any calls. Can you believe that? We're talking about all these controversial things, and people aren't calling. Why do you think that is? You think people are scared to talk about things? You think people are fed up? They're bored? Are these boring topics? I'm curious. We can't take a call now. I know the phones are going to light up now that we're leaving.
Yeah, you're too
late.
It
always happens.
Yeah.
But what you can do, you can write to us, otw@2600.com, and tell us why you didn't call us.
It's just like a phone call, except instead of making your words with your mouth go out in waves, what you do is you take those words and you use your fingers on some kind of input device that allows those thoughts to be in a portable format, and that goes over an internet protocol to a mail server.
I think I know why people aren't calling.
We access that and are able to read it.
I think your snarkiness is actually a deflector for phone calls. I think that's what's happening.
That's all I got.
Yeah. Well, folks, we'll be back again next week.
Hopefully. We tried.
Yeah, we did try. And please pledge whatever you can afford. It does matter.
Yeah, come on. Support WUSB.
Write to us. We want to hear what you have to say. And we'll be back again next week. Finn is back. He'll be on at 7.
Woohoo!
Finn's Revolution, and we will have all kinds of other things to report in the weeks, months, years ahead. Good night.
Good night.
Bishop Bella.